How are we this morning? Yeah. Isn't it good to be alive?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. All right. Am I really loud? That's all right. Awesome. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Oh, you're amazing. Lord, I just thank you for your love and, Lord, you know the hairs on our heads. That is amazing. Lord, I just thank you that you came down to earth and you died on a cross for me. You died on a cross for us so that we could be in relationship with you. And Lord, I just thank you that in Jesus, we are now righteous in the eyes of the Father. And Lord, I just pray that your word would go forth this morning and that nothing of myself would stand. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts this morning and help us to become more like you and help us to have faith, help us to believe your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, it's good to be here this morning. it's such an honor to be able to share the word, and so let's get right into it. So I want to talk this morning about the idea of safety. Oh, there's the title of my message. No, because in our Western culture, we can get really, really comfortable. And when I think about my own life right now, I'm actually really comfortable. I have a great home. I'm married to Raina, which is awesome. I have adorable cats, which is nice. We're really, really blessed. But the thing is, we're blessed so that we can be a blessing and share all of that. And God has really been challenging me lately to step out of my comfort zone. And it's actually really uncomfortable. But it's good, because it forces me into a position where I have nothing else to do but to trust him completely. Because it really is really easy to shrink back and play it safe. And because we live so comfortably, often we can trust in ourselves instead of actually putting our faith and trust in God. So the title of my message this morning is Safe or Faith. Looks cool. Cool. So we're going to read out of, if you have your Bible here this morning, or, oh, there's no more Bibles in here. Oh, there are Bibles. Oh, if you would like a Bible, there are Bibles up back there. So we're going to turn to John chapter 20. And we're going to start from verse 19. Now, just to get a bit of background about where we're starting, or should I just wait a sec for people to get Bibles? I think a few people are getting Bibles. Well, just to get a bit of context, so Jesus has died on the cross at this stage. He's been resurrected, and he's already appeared to a few of the women who were at the tomb. So, yeah, let's just start it. We're going to start at verse 19. So on the evening, so John chapter 20, verse 19. Yep. Okay, so on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So I just want to stop there for a sec. So he had promised his disciples that he would rise again on the third day. So here they are on the third day. And clearly his disciples had become disheartened and lost faith. Maybe they were like, "Oh, Jesus isn't coming back. Maybe he was talking metaphorically. Maybe we've just completely missed it. Let's all huddle together and lock the doors because we're kind of afraid because, yeah." So verse 20, he says, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Isn't that crazy? That Jesus appears through their locked doors, and naturally he's just like, calm down. Calm down. It's okay. Peace be with you. And it says, yeah, the disciples were overwhelmed with joy. And again, in verse 21, Jesus says, peace be with you. Calm down. It's okay. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Can we just quickly talk about that? Jesus is not saying that we get to choose who's in and who's out. He's actually saying, no, I'm sending you so that people will receive forgiveness through my sacrifice. And what was the reason for the Father to send Jesus? It was for forgiveness of sins, so that the world would be redeemed and come into right relationship with the Father. So Jesus is saying, I'm sending you in the same way that the Father has sent me, and your mission is forgiveness. So we're supposed to be spreading forgiveness, except I struggle to forgive people constantly. Maybe some of us struggle to forgive spouses or our mums or brothers or sisters, even ourselves. But forgive yourself. Forgive others. Jesus forgave you. He died on a cross for you. Cool. So moving along. So now Thomas, also known as Didymus, I don't know if I pronounced that right, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. He said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. So here they are a week later behind locked doors again. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed, which is all of us. So skipping down to chapter 21, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, a.k.a. John, the writer of the book, that's kind of funny, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And this is interesting too. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him. So he's just like, oh, it's the Lord. This is exciting. I'm just going to put all my clothes on. And what does he do? He jumps into the ocean. God can use anybody. It's cool. And he swam to the water, and the other disciples followed him in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat. That's just hilarious. He jumps into the water and then he goes back into the boat. And they dragged the net ashore, and it was full of large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Awesome. So let's talk about driving. I don't know about you, but I often get pretty nervous about driving to new places. Today it's pretty easy. We can punch it into our phone and Google Maps and it will take us there. Does anyone remember the good old days of like the road maps? And like you keep them in your glove compartment and you have to flick through them. I always used to do that for my dad when he was delivering sushi. I was like, "Oh, turn left here. Oh, I can't find the page." But now it's easy. You can just punch it into your phone. But yeah, the map becomes our safety net. I trust it to get me from point A to point B. It shows me what street to turn down, and it gives me the quickest route. And it's really uncomfortable when I get lost or turn down an unfamiliar street. And it's even worse if my phone dies, because then I can no longer see where I'm supposed to be going. And then I'm stuck in the unknown and the unfamiliar. And sometimes we can actually get so focused on the destination, on where we're going, that we actually forget about the journey. And sometimes we're so focused on where we are going that we take the fastest way there. And this reminds me of an old African proverb. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Anyway, I'll throw that out there. And in my journey, I've often thought, you know, something is broken, something's wrong, I've been frustrated. It's like nothing is working. But can I just say, my walk with Jesus is not meant to be safe. And there are detours. See, he calls us to step out into the unknown, into the unfamiliar places. Christianity is not meant to be safe. And God, he calls us into the unknown. I mean, if we read through the Bible, man, think of David and Goliath. Do you think he was like, yeah, went into that like, yeah, I'm going to kill Goliath? Well, he had faith, right? But it's like, that's unknown territory for him. And God calls us into the unknown. It's faith. Because when we are in those unfamiliar places, we have no other option but to actually trust that God will come through. And here's a question that can be really hard for some of us to answer. I know it's really hard for me. But yeah, I read this in a book by Francis Chan, Crazy Love. It's an awesome book. It says this: what's one thing in your life right now that requires faith? I'll say that again. What's one thing in your life right now that requires faith? See, everything begins to make sense in your relationship with God when you put yourself in the correct environment, which is actually its mission. It's living beyond ourselves. It's holding everything with an open hand. You see, sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking, oh, life is just a 9-to-5, or I'm living for the weekend, which is good. I can't wait to have a great holiday. Can't wait to go to Japan again, except I'm not going. Rainer is there. But that's not the goal. And so often we can set ourselves up to live really comfortable. I mean, I have a superannuation account. I'm saving money for retirement, and I'm like 28. I have a savings account with a bit of cash in there. I'm on a salary working here, which is phenomenal. But I want to be sowing into eternity, and I actually want to be. I want to store my treasures up in heaven. And we need to focus on the goal, and the goal is to live a life on mission, which is sharing Jesus, sharing His forgiveness, sharing His mercy, His grace. See, God never intended us to live these safe, secure lives. And actually, if we think about it, we've become really delusional about safety in our Western culture. I mean, here's a funny thing. So a while ago, before we worked here, we went on a holiday to Western Australia to visit my sister. And I don't know, maybe it was a different time, but we went to this place called Rottnest. Does anybody know Rottnest? Yeah, so they have these adorable little things called quokkas. But anyway, we went there and we went snorkeling. And we were just like, yeah, this is great. And who knows the feeling of, oh, you know, you're like snorkeling through the water and, oh, if there's no sharks. Seriously. When actually, like, I'm way more likely to get hurt or end up dying in a car crash. And maybe even some of us sped a little to get to church this morning. And yeah, we're safe. So I'll just put that out there. I know none of you sped. You're all good people. But even when we think about our own human bodies, like how do we know that our hearts are going to keep beating? How do we know that we're going to keep breathing? I'm causing anxiety in some people, aren't I? No, but the thing is, we need to put our trust and faith in God, because life is actually so fragile. See, we're here one day and we can be gone the next. And it's crazy to think, but we could die at any moment. And the thing is, Jesus didn't come to offer safety as we have defined it in our Western culture. Jesus didn't come to sell seatbelts. Come on, imagine that. If Jesus came and he was like, oh, I just want you to be safe, buy my seatbelt. Well, he didn't come to make sure that you have a perfect schedule that is totally uninterrupted. Imagine if Jesus rocked up to this meeting right now and he was preaching and he was like, oh, yeah, you guys have like, it's about an hour service, right? Oh, look, it's 11 o'clock. Oh, see you guys. That's time. No, Jesus came to offer eternal security for our soul. He never promised safety on this earth. Yet look how quickly the disciples went back to living it safe. 3 days behind locked doors. And why did they lock the door? They were afraid. And think about it. They were with Jesus for 4 to 5 days before, as he was leading up to his crucifixion, and they were passionate, on fire. I'll follow you, Lord. Wherever you go, I will follow. They were healing the sick. They were on fire. Yet a week later, like after the first appearance of Jesus, a week later, they find themselves behind closed doors. And they're just like, oh, will they recognize us? If we don't hide, we could be beaten and put to death. They could even crucify us. Do you really think Jesus is coming back? I don't know what to do. Let's just hold each other and hope for the best. Let's lock the door. Make sure we're safe. Like, why do we even lock doors? Like, I won't get into that. But I'm pretty sure you could just bash down a door. But what does Jesus do? He appears and pretty much walks right through the walls. Ah! The disciples. He's just like, calm down. It's okay. It's me. It's Jesus. And you know why Jesus appeared through the locked doors? It's so the disciples wouldn't stay behind locked doors. But again, a week later, guess what happens? They find themselves behind locked doors again. So this is crazy. We can actually encounter Jesus, like I'm talking about encountering him for real. And then 1 week later, we can hide behind our locked doors and start playing it safe again. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Who knows, we don't have the Holy Spirit to remain behind locked doors. Jesus is sending us as the Father sent him. So Jesus appears three times. So the first group he appeared to was afraid. Now the second time he appears for the one. And this is amazing. Think about Thomas. He was hurt. He had put all his eggs into one basket. And I think he would have been feeling let down. He would have been feeling betrayed. Just think about the Jews back then. They were brutalized, and there was so much racism and hate towards them. And here's Thomas, who had believed that Jesus was supposed to set him free. And here are all of the rest of the disciples. Here you all are, and you're like claiming that you've seen him, but I haven't seen him. And I'm going to protect my emotions and my wealth from now on. And the only thing I'm going to believe is what I see with my own two eyes. Come on, who's ever been there? I will only believe when people actually follow through on what they say they will do. I'm not going to put myself out there anymore. I mean, but Jesus shows up for Thomas. I mean, isn't that crazy? Like, Jesus just shows up and he's like, hey, Thomas, here's my hands, here's my side. And Thomas is just like, my Lord, my God. And Jesus is like, come on, touch it, you said. And by then, Thomas is probably like, we get it. Like, I really stuffed up. Oh, okay. Like, that would have been a... But you see, Jesus appears for a group, but he also appears for the one. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. So Jesus appears first to fearful disciples. He appears to a hurt disciple who won't believe anything he doesn't see with his own eyes. And thirdly, he appears to discouraged disciples. You see, their safety was to go back and do what they had been doing before they met Jesus. And sometimes I think, I know for me, but the biggest thing we can put our security and trust in is our money. And the Bible never tells us to put our trust in money, but somehow in our culture we think money will just solve all our problems. But do we love Jesus more than all of that? I mean, here's the thing. What if Jesus told you to give everything away? What if he told you to sell your house or to open up your house and invite others in? Or what if he told you to move countries? I don't know what God is asking you to do. Only you and God know that. But sometimes we can think, oh, why do we give money to God? You did what? You put money into an offering? Well, actually, I'm sowing into the kingdom. See, the world we live in today tells us that we should be holding on tightly to everything we have here on earth. But I don't want to lock myself behind anything that doesn't guarantee me any safety. I want eternal safety. So are we going to just live in what we know, or are we going to actually lean into the unknown? Can I say that again? Are we going to just live in what we know, Or are we going to lean into the unknown? Yeah, financially, I live in the know. I have money. I'm going to guard this, protect it, invest it. Maybe God's asking us or someone to start tithing. Maybe that's the unknown for you. I don't know. But I do know when you're in the know, you're safe. And I think there's a voice that comes with that. You know, Peter, you're a fisherman. You're just a grumpy, stubborn fisherman. You're not some Jesus follower. You're a swearing old grumpy fisherman. And he's just like, yeah, I'm going fishing. And the others are just like, yeah, we're coming with you. But see, there's so much stuff happening in the world right now, and naturally we want to hide behind locked doors. But yeah, we're called to live out and not huddle inside. And maybe some of you feel let down by God. Maybe you've been hurt by people. Maybe someone's let you down. And now you're like, I'm only going to believe what I see. But our flesh, it lies to us. It tells us to only believe what we see. When the Bible, it tells us in Hebrews, faith is the evidence of things unseen. And there is an unseen realm that is actually more real than we think. This is cool. Like, God is so faithful, even when we are not. See, as they were fishing on the boat, as Peter went back to fishing with the rest of the disciples, Jesus was like, oh, you guys haven't caught anything. Throw your nets on the other side. See, he did the same thing when he first met the disciples, right? And now he's, you know, cast your nets on the other side. Oh, I've heard that before. So they cast the nets on the other side. And John's like, hey, it's him. And Peter's like, oh my gosh, give me my jacket. And he jumps in the water and swims to the shore. And the rest of the disciples are like, eh, we're going to take the boat in. And what is Jesus doing? He's making breakfast, cooking. It says he's cooking some fish. And actually, back in the day, eating, I don't know if you've ever gone to like a Middle Eastern feast, but it's pretty spectacular. But eating was a form of intimate relationship. I could be wrong, but I actually think this was the only time that Jesus was a cook, which is pretty special. He came and ate with the disciples when they were at their lowest. It's amazing. So the question is, are we as a church going to live sent by Jesus, or will we live safe? Because we can't actually have both. Like, are we fearful? I mean, the world, there's so much stuff going on in the world, and yeah, we can become fearful. And we can lock our doors and just sit around and wait for Jesus to return. Are we only going to believe what we see? Or am I going to live in the known? Or am I going to lean into the unknown and the unseen? Or are we going to open the door and actually rub shoulders with the world and share the story of Jesus, of forgiveness, of redemption, of mercy, love? We're meant to be out and amongst the people. That's awesome. And I think Robin's exhibition is just amazing. But we aren't supposed to hide behind locked doors in our exclusive little Christian community. Yeah, everybody has a part to play. So I just want to share one story. Why don't the musicians come? But yeah, God has really been challenging me and Raina in our walk, and just Yeah, I want to share this story. So it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, or more, longer. We met a homeless guy, a young bloke, a couple of years younger than myself. And I can remember very clearly God, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, like, this is ages ago. He said, oh, you know, you're going to meet someone, a homeless person. He's going to have the same shoe size as you, and you're going to give him your favorite jacket. I was like, okay, that's random. That can't be from God. But it was, right? So I ran into this guy. He came through the doors. I thought I would have to go out looking for him, but he actually just wandered in. Yeah, please play something. anything. No, but this guy wandered through the door, and I was like, we just loved him, and we took him. He came in, had a shower, because he hadn't had a shower for a long time. We gave him some clothes. And then I took him out for a coffee, and I just got to hear some of his story. And it was, yeah, he was really broken and hurt, and he had ended up on the streets somehow. Yeah. So, yeah, and then I just asked him, you know, what shoe size are you? He's like, oh yeah, I'm size 11, which is like the same shoe size as me. So I said, oh, that has to be confirmation that I'm going to give him my favorite jacket. And that was really hard. That was my favorite jacket. I was like, I remember just being up there going, oh, can't I just give him this one? Like my second favorite or my third? No, I gave him my favorite jacket. Yeah, so then we tried to get him a house to live, but nothing was available on Friday. So then we just came to the end of the day. We were just hanging out with him and just loving him, and I just said, look, just come back on Monday morning and we will take you down to Mission Australia. So that was even uncomfortable, because Monday is like our day off. But that, I was like, you know, God's calling us into the unfamiliar, the unknown. I didn't know what to do. I had never met a homeless person. I didn't know how to find them a house or anything. But yeah, so I rang up the guys at Mission Australia and I said, we actually missed our appointment. So I rang them up, and I couldn't remember the lady's name that I was supposed to talk, that said we could come down. So that was another Holy Spirit moment. It was just like, oh, her name's Kathy. And as soon as I said her name on the phone, like, all these doors opened up miraculously. So we did that. I took him down. I was able to share with him my story and my testimony and about how Jesus changed my life. And I told him, Jesus loves you so much, and you can always trust him and ask him for help. And yeah, so the next morning was really uncomfortable. And I got a phone call from Mission Australia saying that he passed away. He had actually taken his own life, right? But here's the thing. Life is so short, right? And we don't know what's going to happen. But I couldn't have known that was going to happen. But I do know that I was obedient to what God was asking me to do. And if I hadn't have stepped out in faith, and if I hadn't have shared my story, I wouldn't have been able to share Jesus with him. So, yeah, God's really been smashing us a lot lately. And I mean, I've got other stories as well, like even recently coming home from Noosa, I met another lady. And yeah, God just opened up a door and I was able to pray with her. But that's so unknown to me. That's really unfamiliar, and it's not safe. Like, that's not what I usually do. So the challenge for us is to actually step out and not get really comfortable, because Christianity is supposed to be a little bit messy sometimes. So yeah, and the question is, where do you guys fit into the story? Have you become afraid that you've just locked yourself behind barriers? Have you been let down by people? Or have you just gone back to going to doing what you know when God's actually calling you to step out into the unknown? So with that in mind, I'm just going to pray, and then I think they're going to sing a song. But if you don't know Jesus here this morning and you do want to know Jesus, or you feel like you've really drifted away and you want to just give your life to Him again, after the service, I'm going to be at the front, and just come down and speak to me. Be bold. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I just pray that you would stir us up, that you would set our hearts on fire, Lord, that we wouldn't be afraid. I thank you that you call us into the unknown. You call us to live beyond ourselves. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to just put our trust in you. Lord, I just pray that we would just be able to fully surrender every part of our lives to you. And Lord, that we would just be obedient to what you're telling us to do. Lord, let us hear the Holy Spirit clearly. Lord, let us just walk in step with you. Lord, we want to be more like you. We just want to be more like you, Lord. I just pray that you just put a greater love in our hearts. That we would just share your love, Lord, with those in need. We just lift this up to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.